the timeless human habits, and the stubborn problems that persist over the long haul. As we get good at this kind of observation, we can start to place ourselves in the context of these themes and patterns too, and gain historical perspective on our own time and place. Last, but maybe most important, I hope you'll come away having met some truly fascinating people. We will certainly spend time talking about theology and grand world historical trends, but fundamentally, the history of Christianity is not a history of abstract isms. It's a story of human beings and the story of how faith is actually lived. With that in mind, I want to start in a very particular place in time. That's the Italian city of Florence in the last decade of the 15th century. And I want to begin with the story of two men who lived in this city, a priest named Girolamo Savonarola and an ambitious scholar named Giovanni Pico della Mirandola. Their lives and their friendship tell us a lot about the state of European Christianity at the beginning of this course, and they tell us a surprising amount about some of the themes that will carry us through the next 500 years of Christian history. Let me start with Girolamo Savonarola. He was a friar, a member of the Dominicans, a religious order founded by Saint Dominic in the early 13th century in order to preach the gospel and root out heresy. If you lived in Florence in the 1490s, let me assure you that you would have had a strong opinion about this guy. No one was neutral about Savonarola. He had many passionate fans, but he also had a lot of enemies, and that's putting it mildly. Let me tell a story that makes it pretty clear. One spring night in 1497, a small band of men broke into the Cathedral of Florence, where Savonarola often preached, and they smeared human feces all over the pulpit. Then they dragged the very smelly carcass of a dead donkey on top. And I have to tell you, I love their final touch. They hammered a bunch of nails upside down through the bottom side of the pulpit's bookrest, because they were thinking that if Savonarola managed to clean up the pulpit enough to preach, soon enough he'd be worked up and he'd start pounding his hands on the pulpit and then he would impale himself on the nails. Lovely, right? Okay, so who was this guy? Why would people go to such trouble to embarrass, maim, or try to kill him? He was not an imposing figure. He was on the short side, with dark hair, gray eyes, a kind of prominent nose. Yet at the height of his popularity in the 1490s, crowds of 14 or 15,000 people would gather to hear him preach. And this was in the age before microphones, of course. To put it simply, Savonarola convinced a lot of people that he was a prophet who had a direct line to God. And he had a powerful message about the divine plan that God had for the city of Florence. To understand why Savonarola seemed like a savior to some people and an agent of Satan to others, it's helpful to know something about the politics of Florence back then. As you may know, Italy was not a unified country in the 1400s. Instead, it was a collection of independent city-states, among them Rome, Milan, Venice, and of course, Florence. The Medici, a very rich banking family, had dominated Florentine politics for much of the 15th century. But in 1494, a bunch of wealthy citizens banded together and toppled them. They declared the city a truly free republic. Savonarola had come to the city several years earlier and had gained quite a reputation as a preacher, and now he seized the opportunity. He nominated himself the moral leader of Republican Florence. His goal was to lead the city into its divine destiny as heaven on earth, a new Jerusalem. Savonarola considered himself a prophet in the style of Isaiah or Ezekiel, and he was not afraid to dress down the rich elites or insult the Pope himself for supporting corrupt government. He had a vision of a great council of citizens who would govern for life, not a council of elites, but small landowners, merchants, craftsmen, and others who had felt left out. His political views sound pretty radical for their time, and they were. But here's the catch. Savonarola thought that if Florence...